The Old Testament reading today is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. Hear now the word of God. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forward and evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Let us bow before God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, with a word, you brought creation into being, and in the fullness of time, in flesh and blood, you brought your word to life in Jesus Christ. May we, even through the words spoken here and the songs that we sing and the prayers that we pray, hear his word touching our lives, even today. Amen. In our Advent sermons, we've been thinking together about the newness that comes to our world and to our lives through our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus, the advent of Jesus, brings new things into this world or takes what is old and renews them within our lives. So a few weeks ago, we thought about the new call of God that came to John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, in his old age when he would least expect it, and the call of God that came to Mary, Jesus' mother, when she was young, when she least expected it as well, meaning and purpose coming to lives at any stage because of the coming of Jesus Christ into this world. Then a couple of weeks ago, we thought together about a new vision that God wants to carry us, to carry in our minds because of the coming of Jesus the Messiah. This is a vision primarily that we see throughout the book of the prophet Isaiah in a number of different places. And we thought together about his vision of the world as it ought to be. When we are trapped by a vision of the world as it is, which is often bleak and dismal and filled with evil, and it is, Isaiah says, listen, keep in mind the world as it ought to be and that God will bring to pass when the time is fully right, and aim in that direction under a new leader who will come. And I want to speak about this new leader in a moment or two. So he raises up the image of the Messiah King, the leader, and the Messianic kingdom, this new vision that comes. And then last week we thought together about the new promise that God wants to bring to our lives through Jesus Christ. How stunning it is that God, Almighty God, the creator of the universe, should commit himself to people like us, limit himself for people like us, saying, I am committed to you. Why in the world would God do that? Except in love. And that love is embodied in the baby in the manger. Jesus is the promise of God to you and me that he will never take away, he will never fail us, and he will never forsake us. So there are new things that come through Jesus Christ, or renewed things, which I hope this Advent you have experienced within your lives. And today I want to think of something that arises from that vision of Isaiah, a new leader, Jesus as a new leader in our lives, or the old leader, the one we followed, but we follow in a new kind of way. When you think about leadership, if you think about leadership, I find it remarkable that one person, one solitary leader, can have a powerful, powerful effect on the lives of another person or on many people. The life of just one person can transform even a whole nation. The impact of leadership can be remarkably powerful. This past year, my wife and I were flipping through Netflix, and we came across a video slash documentary called Nikki's Family. I don't know if any of you have seen Nikki's Family. It's easy to write down Nikki's Family, and it's one you really can watch. It's powerful. It's about a man by the name of Nicholas Winton, who is not very well known at all, though recently 60 Minutes has featured him. Nicholas Winton, who when he was 29 in 1939, was a stockbroker who went to Prague and Czechoslovakia and decided that he was going to help Jewish children escape from the coming onslaught. You could see what was happening. And he decided to help these children to get out. Their parents couldn't, and most of them were going to die. But he helped 669 children escape from Prague, mainly to the United Kingdom, some to Sweden. And then he forgot about it. He forgot about what he did. And he didn't even tell his wife. So she, 50 years later, is cleaning out the attic in their house and comes across this scrapbook. And in the scrapbook are names of children and homes to which they are assigned. And she says to her husband, "What's this?" And he said, "Oh, well, I did something back in 1939, more or less forgotten about it." And shares the story. And she decides to contact the names on this list, and finds that those children, now grown adults, were desperate to find the person who had saved their lives. So she began to make the contacts, and they began to make other contacts, and the network began to grow. And the BBC brought all of these people together in one place, and they realized that when they came together, many of the 669 children were still alive. But they had children, and they had children, and there were now 6,000 of them. And they called themselves Nikki's Family. He had saved their lives. They wouldn't be alive today were it not for this one person, one solitary person who said, "I'm going to take the lead. This is not just their responsibility, it's my responsibility, and I will follow through on this and do what I can." Lives changed, powerfully changed, because of this. Of course, we know from history, if you go up the ladder, there are great leaders who have left their mark on history. You go back to the ancient world, to Julius Caesar. You go back to great figures in the past. You go back to great figures in our own American history, to George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, and you say, these people left a mark on society. You go back to people like Martin Luther King Jr., who left an impact on the way we live our lives together. You go back to Steve Jobs and you think of the impact of one person on our whole understanding of technology, and it's powerful. You can go up to these great figures, but I like to go down when it comes to leadership, to people who touch people's lives, other people's lives, and impact other lives one by one on this lower level as well. So when I think of leadership and the impact of a single person, I also think of a man by the name of Rick Mixon, whom you have never heard of, I think. He drives a truck. He may still drive a truck, but he was one year my son's little league baseball coach. My son's team the previous year had been okay. The coach had been a good coach. But when Rick Mixon came along, everything changed. He knew baseball. He loved baseball. He knew little boys. And he loved little boys. And he took a very average group of little boys, there was one superstar in the mix, and blended them into a team which kept on winning one game after another when we weren't supposed to. And we got all the way to the finals, and then we lost to the dreaded Rangers in the final. But we won. Because when we saw their coach, he was pushing and shouting and screaming at those boys, and all of those parents were stunned in silence and in fear. Our parents and our boys had the most wonderful season together because they were led. They were led by Rick Mixon. And his leadership stands for me as a powerful example of how on the ground level one person can make a difference in other people's lives. When Isaiah paints for us this picture of a leader in the 9th chapter as well as the 11th chapter of his prophecy, it's surely of a leader like this, not just high and mighty though he is, but down here on earth as well. For a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us. Our story begins at ground level. A child has been born to us, a son has been given to us. The government, the authority, the leadership is on his shoulders. And yes, he is mighty. Shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, a great leader. So this is the picture that Isaiah paints. And we know the impact of one life on another. And Isaiah wants to say to us, this is the leader for whom we were born. The one whom we have been called to follow and who can make all the difference in our lives. The trouble, though, with this image of a leader in Isaiah is just this, that it can so easily come and go with Christmas. We hear those words, a child has been born, a son has been given, and we feel the Christmas spirit, and that is wonderful. But then Christmas comes and goes, and that passage disappears. But Isaiah, I think, is crying out to each of us and saying to each of us, don't let it disappear. Let the zeal of the Lord of hosts, that's his phrase, perform this in your sight. So awaken us, so quicken us, so open us to the importance of leadership and to the question, who is the leader in your life and my life, that the one of whom he speaks would not just be our leader for a moment or two, but our leader forever and ever. The one who can impact our life and bring the best out of us forever. May Isaiah's words cause us to ask that question, who is our leader? Do we have any? I think we all do if we search, but sometimes we can't name the leader. Do we have many? In which case, we're going in all kinds of scattered different directions and life will be very confusing. Do we have a leader who is leading us down the wrong path? Or do we have a leader in our life who was born for us and who is wonderful, the best of all counselors, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace? The impact of a leader is powerful. But who is your leader and mine? Not only today, not only at Christmas, but forever. May the zeal of the Lord of hosts perform this in your life and mine. Let us pray. Holy God, help us truly to find your zeal by the power of your Holy Spirit, opening our hearts to a new sense of the presence of Jesus Christ, our leader, today. Amen.